You know, we serve an extravagant God. He is not stingy. He's certainly not greedy. He owns it all. It's all His. And we are His. We are His possession. We have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. If you are born of His Spirit today, if you're in Christ, you are His. And how many know that if you belong to Him, then everything that you have and I have belongs to Him. But everything that He has belongs to us. When you say, I do, in marriage, what you're saying, it's no longer a me thing, but a what? A we thing, an us thing, right? So if we are espoused to the Lord, amen, in this covenant, in His blood, that means that it's no longer just a me thing, it's a we thing. Amen? So I don't have to covet anybody's silver or gold. Amen? I don't have to be, I'm not upset that Donald Trump has all that money. I'm really not. I just pray that he uses it wisely. Amen? And for the glory of God. But we shouldn't be jealous over these things, because if you and I, it doesn't matter where you find yourself at today, financially, for example, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need in Him. And everything available to you that you have need of. Because He is our Father, and a father's mission is to, one of his missions is to provide. He also protects us, doesn't He? But He will provide. So when we pray, we should pray, amen, Father, thank you for taking care of me, for watching over me, for taking care of all my needs. What does Psalms 23 said? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there are times in life where we are tested and we go through valleys and we go through situations we never faced before. And it can be really difficult, especially when we're so used to living by what we see and what we feel. And sometimes you're not seeing it and you're not feeling it. Amen. And you have a real need. You have a need that comes up. And so what do we do in that time? Well, this is where we got to go beyond my feelings, beyond my own understanding, and say, but God said and God promised that He would take care of me. So my faith and confidence is going to be in God. And when I really am putting my confidence and my faith in Him as my protector, as my provider, as my Savior, then I have peace in my heart, because I'm not having to carry the worry, you know, about the uncertainties of the future. How many know the devil wants you to get you anxious about the future? What's going to happen with the economy? How many know that God is bigger than the economy? How many know that God can make water come from a rock? He can rain manna down from heaven. He can provide for us. He will do that because we trust Him and we believe in Him. Amen? So what God does is He says to His children, I want to teach you the principle of sowing and reaping. Amen? And in order for you to learn this, I'm going to give you some seed. So when you're born again, God has invested in you certain traits, qualities, gifts, abilities. He's given you something that you can go and trade with or work with or invest. Amen? So whatever we receive from God is not solely for us, but it's also for somebody else. If you learn this principle, you will find that you will never run out of steam. You'll never run out of gas. You'll never run out of zeal for the Lord. You'll never run out of fire. Amen? If you learn how to sow. Now, so often when we hear that, it's always about, okay, send $19.99. Call the 1-800 number and we'll send you your holy water and you'll get your blessing. Whatever. No. We need to trust God, amen, that He is able to provide for us, amen. Don't put your faith in ministries, don't put your faith in man, but put your faith in the living God, amen. Who gives us everything to enjoy. He takes care of His children, and as His children, we are to take care of one another. Can you say amen? Amen. So Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves where? Treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, you'll bypass our own prejudices, Lord, our own misunderstandings. God, I pray that you would sow into our hearts with understanding the truth. The truth that will set us free and keep us free. Lord, I ask that you would impart this truth in such a way, God, that it will change our lives even as of today. That we will learn the importance of giving, Lord, because as you have demonstrated to us, we should also follow your example. In Jesus' name. Jesus gave his life for us. He shed his blood. And because of that, we're eternally indebted to him. We are debtors, in a sense, debtors of love. Amen. To now, as an act of service, Romans 12, to offer ourselves, our bodies, back to God as a living sacrifice. Everything that we have has been gifted to us by God. Whether you like it or not, your body, amen? God decided you're going to have a body that looks this way, functions this way, all right? Our minds. We can't take credit for our minds because God gave us the mind we have. Amen? Some people are proud of their knowledge or proud of their intellect. Amen? But they didn't have anything to do about giving themselves that intellect. Amen? We don't have anything, as a matter of fact, that we didn't first receive. And God decided we're going to look this way. We're going to, you know, have these qualities, these characteristics. And that's okay because we need to discover who we are in him, who he is in us, and how we can be good stewards over what he's invested in us. How I can take this body, which has now become the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and live an honorable life, amen, in this body as I represent him in his honor. So that's why we're not to give ourselves over to sexual immorality, because we are representing the Lord, amen, in this world. So we have to keep ourselves pure, amen, for him. Amen. The marriage bed is not to be defiled. Amen. It's to be kept pure. And that's why God has initiated marriage, because marriage is a picture of our union to Christ. Amen. Christ and his bride, his church. And we are married to him in covenant. And therefore, once again, everything that I have is his, and everything he has is mine. So what God wants us to do is learn how to be a good steward of what he's invested in us, what he's given to us. And so because God is a multiplier, he wants to multiply what he has invested in us. Do you understand that God will give seed, but seed can produce a harvest? But that seed has to be invested. It has to be sown. And I know sometimes when you start talking this way, right away, flag will go up and say, oh, here we go. Here's another message on money. Well, money is part of us, and we're learning to be stewards in this world with what God entrusts to us. If we cannot be faithful with that which is least, then how will God entrust us with the greater riches? See, and so your money and what you do with your money is very important, that we are understanding that what I have has been given as an investment from God, amen, so that I can be a good steward over his possession and sow it where he tells me to sow it. Not where the manipulator on the television tells you to sow it, amen, but where God, by his Spirit, tells you to sow it. Amen. So, the boy with the fishes and loaves, how many remember that story? Mark 6:35, when the day was far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" They're saying, How are we going to feed this crowd? We can't afford that. But he said to them, this is the answer Jesus gave, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, what? 5 loaves and what? 2 fishes. And we know that it was from a little boy, amen, his little sack lunch, that he, you know, they found, well, we have a little boy here that has a sack lunch, and that's not going to feed 5,000. But Jesus said, don't go into town, don't leave the camp, amen, but take what you already have and give it back to me. Invest it. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups, Mark 6:39, in the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. Good place to look first. Amen. Blessed and broke the loaves and gave to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. Now what had to happen here? They had to trust the Lord. Now, in our natural understanding, this doesn't make sense. But we're not to be led by our natural understanding. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord will call you to do things that are beyond what you would have thought about. All right? Or something yet in your own understanding you wouldn't have done. Now, sometimes God will test you to whether you really believe Him or not by challenging you to do something, okay, above and beyond what even maybe you think you're capable of doing. Has anybody ever been challenged by the Lord to give sacrificially? So there's sometimes when you just, maybe you're tired in your body, but the Lord awakes you and He tells you, I want you to call, I want you to contact somebody. You ever get that in the middle of the night, or the Lord wants you to get up and pray for somebody? And in your own strength, you're saying, oh, God, I just can't do that. There's times when I know that God is calling me to prayer, but my body's saying something else. And that's when I have to tell my body, body, you're going to obey the word of the Lord. And I find that when I just say yes to God, amen, and deny my flesh, my that other part of me, that lower part of me, and I do what God says, all of a sudden I've got energy. All of a sudden I got ability. All of a sudden I find myself sometimes in one of the best times of prayer I've had because I simply was willing to obey God's voice and deny what I felt like doing. And how many know that good feelings follow faith? But they're not always the other way around. Sometimes you just, if I feel like it, I do it. Well, how many have ever heard the term, if you feel led? If you feel led. Well, I felt led. Oh, that? No, I don't feel led to do that. What is God saying? That's the real question here. So this boy had to give his lunch, what? Back to Jesus. And whatever you give to Jesus, He's able to bless and multiply. What is God calling you and I to do today? He's calling you and I to offer our bodies back to Him, to give our lives back to Him. Amen? As an act of worship, to say, God, You gave me this life. You gave me this body. I'm going to give it back to You. And whatever Jesus has, He can bless, amen, and break and multiply. And you and I can bear an abundance of good fruit in this life, amen, if we're willing to trust the Lord with this life. Amen. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce a harvest, amen. You know, you take one kernel of wheat and you get a whole bunch of it, right? Amen. How about a little kernel of corn? I mean, you sow that little kernel of corn, and all of a sudden it comes harvest time. One ear of corn has a lot of kernels in it. Amen? Because you had to, in faith, even though you couldn't see anything, but you trusted that that seed was good seed, and you're going to invest it, so you stick it in the ground in faith with hopes that someday it's going to produce a harvest. Even if one plant grows up, amen, you can get a harvest out of one plant. So the little boy had the option. Now, this is the thing. God gives you the option. He gives you the freedom of choice. You do what you want with what you have. But understand that the day comes when we all see Jesus. Amen. And He will ask you, well, what did you do with my investment? And I want to say, Lord, I went and traded. I went and gave. I sowed. I was a faithful steward with what you gave me. Amen. And look, here's more. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? I don't want to be like the man that was fearful. And he hid it in the earth. And he did nothing with his master's investment. And why was he fearful? Well, he didn't trust. You know, when we're really trusting the Lord, we can give, you know, with a cheerful heart. We're not saying, oh, I don't know about this. We're like, I know God. I know God's going to take care of it. If I just do what He says to do, He's going to take care of these things. You know, my wife and I have learned this principle through the years, just in our giving. And God has just taught us to give here and to sow here and there. And sometimes we're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. You ever been there when God's telling you to do something and you don't feel like doing it? Those are the times when we need a little attitude adjustment. How many know that sometimes, not every time, but sometimes poverty is a result of just disobedience? Not every time. Don't look at your neighbor and say, oh, you're disobedient and you're giving. No. But God wants, all right, to multiply whatever He's invested in you. Amen? So whatever gift that you have, if you're a teacher, go and trade that gift and go and implement, use that gift to teach somebody else. Amen? If you're a prophet, prophesy. Amen? As the Lord is leading you and directing you, go and trade. Amen? If you're a shower of mercy, then show mercy. Amen? Sow that which He's invested in you. There's something that you have that others need that God has invested in you that you can use for the glory of God. Amen? And we just need to trust Him in that. The boy had to trust the Lord. He had to give it back to God. He had to say, okay, this is all I had to eat. I don't know what Jesus has in mind, but okay, here you go, Lord. He trusted the Lord. And as a result, it says they all ate and were filled. And there was 12 baskets left over, remember? Now, here's another one I want to look at today because I love little Zacchaeus. How many remember the song when you were a kid? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord had passed his way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. It's okay. It's all right. We're around family here, right? Yeah. I mean, I can get evaluated later. It's okay. But, you know, Zacchaeus is a great example of someone who was born again marvelously. It changed his whole perspective on everything. He could have simply paid back what he owed to others. He was a tax collector, if you remember. And he used to take more than he was supposed to get. He was lining his own pockets. He was a corrupt politician. And according to the law, everything, you know, he was supposed to give back double. But Zacchaeus, instead, he says, Lord, I'm going to give back fourfold. Because he was so grateful that the Lord had shown him mercy. And even went as far as to give half of all that he owned to the poor. So in Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anybody or anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So his new life gave him a desire for restitution. And I've touched on this before, but restitution doesn't get talked about very much. Restitution is that's taking care of old debts, taking care of things that are left unresolved. Going back, if possible, and settling accounts with people. Forgiveness and relationships, wherever possible. Amen? If you used to steal, amen, then you give. You do the opposite. And make sure, if at all possible, that you go to the person that you stole from and you give back to that person. Are you hearing that? Restitution is something that we need to pay attention to, because Zacchaeus understood this. Zacchaeus knew, amen, that not only was he going to do exactly what the law was going to tell him to do, but he was going to go beyond that. Amen. Out of gratitude, he was going to give God an offering. Amen. Even the half of his goods. Here was a greedy little man that was transformed by the power of God. Amen. Into a giving little man. God does that. He changes the heart. Because, amen, when you have the giver in you, you'll desire to do the things that he does. So in gratitude for his salvation, he wanted to use his money for the glory of God and for blessing others now, instead of just for himself. So salvation doesn't relieve a person necessarily from righting the wrongs of the past. So if money was stolen, then a true sense of the grace of God requires that the money be repaid after a person has become a child of God. You know, let me just say this. There was times when I got born again, I was excited for Jesus. I was in love with the Lord. I want to do everything that pleases the Lord. Amen. My heart had been changed, and he had been so good to me and so gracious and so forgiving to me, you know. But there were some people that I know I had done wrong in the past that I didn't know where they were or how I could even get to them. So what do you do with that? Well, the Lord showed me. He says, you start loving others. You start blessing the ones you can see. You start forgiving others. Amen. You start giving to the poor. You start doing the opposite of what you used to do. It's called restitution. You see, repentance requires an action, as John the Baptist said. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Just don't say, I'm sorry. I want to see an attitude adjustment. I want to see a change in your behavior. And the things that you used to do, you don't do anymore. That's called repentance. Amen. It's not being just sorry. Do you understand? There's a difference between remorse and repentance. You can be remorseful about sin. You can be sorry about sin, but unrepentant in your heart. When you come to repentance, you're done with the way you used to live. You're not going there anymore. You're not doing that anymore. I have decided to follow Jesus. I've cut the cord to the past. Amen. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm going to walk in the Spirit from here on out. Amen. And I'm going to honor the Lord instead of dishonor him. Elisha, he feeds 100 men. 2 Kings 4:42. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what? Shall I set this before 100 men? Do you see a parallel here to what Jesus did and what Elisha is doing here? He said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord. Now here is where there has to be obedience. If the Lord speaks to you, then listen to him. What did Mary say? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he had to, by faith, based upon what he heard from God, sow. Amen. What he had. And as a result, what happened? They ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. How many know that this man had to, in faith, invest? He had to sow what he had, and God would then multiply what he had. God wants to multiply each one of us here. Amen? You may say, well, I don't really have a lot to offer. Well, guess what? If you give it back to Jesus, he can multiply what little you think you have. Amen? And he can bring you to a place where you are abounding in good fruit and glorifying the Father. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe he is what? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here's another one. How about the widow's oil? 2 Kings 4:1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. Who is this guy? Well, this is a guy that was serving Elisha's ministry. And now he's dead. And so the wife comes to Elisha and says, he's dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So What did he say in verse 2? So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a what? Jar of oil." How many of you have heard the statement, little is much if God is in it? So don't think, "Oh, I don't have much. I don't have anything." We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, didn't we, a little bit? About Moses and the men of God that were called of the Lord, and how so often they just felt, "Well, I'm insignificant. I can't speak. I'm just a child," or whatever. You know, they all had excuses. Jeremiah, you know, and Isaiah, he realized that he was insufficient, you know. But they all, you know, came to the place where they said, "Okay, we're going to trust God. We're going to invest. We're going to do what God tells us to do, even contrary to what my natural understanding tells me." How many know that sometimes our reason gets us in trouble? How many here have made decisions based upon your own assessments of things that were bad choices? Amen? Because it appeared to be a certain way, or it felt a certain way. Mm-hmm. He asked her, "What is it that you already have in your possession?" In other words, that jar of oil, you can liken it to seed. She had something to work with. All right? And so, he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few." Now, why do you think he was asking them to gather as many as possible? Because as long as there was a vessel, there was going to be a supply. How many know that we're surrounded with empty vessels? People that need what you and I have been invested with from God to sow into their lives. And if we want to limit God by just saying, "Well, here's a jar or two jars," well, you'll have enough oil for one or two jars. But if you can look around and say, "God, where's the fruit? Where are they at? Amen. Where can I invest? When you come to church, Lord, how can I bless somebody today? How can I be a blessing to my brother and sister? What can I do to enhance, amen, the whole worship experience today? How can I edify? How can I build up my brother and sister?" Looking for an opportunity to sow what you have into somebody else. Understanding that as long as I'm sowing or pouring the oil, I'm not running out. I have this statement or this little saying, "Grace, God's grace is like the widow's jar. If you keep pouring it, it will not run out." I got that in my office, and I'm reminded of that. I have discovered that when I continue to sow in obedience to God, whatever it is, whether it's finances or myself, my gifting, amen, as long as I'm sowing, I'm not running out of oil. I'm not getting stagnant. God sees faithfulness in a steward, and he says, "I can entrust him with more." Are you hearing me, somebody? If you're faithful with little, I'll make you ruler of much. So he said, "What do you have already? What do you have in the house?" "Well, nothing but a jar of oil." Well, that's all you need. You've got something to trade with. What is an empty vessel? Well, it's an available vessel. It's an open vessel. And it's a vessel that's ready to receive. Some vessels aren't ready to receive. They're not open. Amen. I'm not saying you try to sow into something that's not going to produce. Amen. But if we pray and say, "Lord, show me where the fruit is at." Sometimes God will show you the fruit in place where maybe some other people don't want to go, or most people don't want to go. Maybe it's in the prison somewhere. You may have been in prison before, or at least visited them. Stinky places, right? Creepy. Not a place, not supposed to be pleasant, right? Not a place where you want to live. But how many know that Jesus is in the prison? And Jesus would go into the prison. And if God is saying, "I want you to go, and I want you to reach out to these people," amen? Then, "Okay, Lord, here am I, send me, I'll go." And we'll find out that Jesus is right there where He told us to be. God is going to be right where He tells you to be and what He tells you to do. Did God call you to come here this morning? Did God meet you here today? Because you obeyed His voice. And I find that to be true. Sometimes things happen. I get called on to do something that may be a little bit awkward or difficult, but I trust the Lord. And if I obey the Lord, I'm never disappointed. And God gives you free will. You can do what you want. But the day will come when I want to see the Lord and have Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so He says, when you, in 2 Kings 4:4, when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So what did He do? He says, I want you to go out and gather as many empty vessels, available vessels as you can, bring them into the house and do what? Shut the door. Now, I see a couple things here. One is, what really stood out with me is Jesus said, when you do your charitable deeds, don't do them, amen, to be seen of men. You shut the door. Even when you pray, amen. It's okay to pray publicly, but if you don't have a personal prayer life, then, amen, you can just be an unintentional Pharisee sometimes. I said unintentional. But it also means to shut the door to unbelief. You have to shut yourself in with God. There was times when Jesus had put everybody out of the house before He was going to minister healing. Amen? Because all the mourners were all just caught up in the, wow, it's bad, it's impossible. He just had to get the unbelief out of there. Amen? And then He went in and He raised up the woman. Amen? The young lady from the dead. Sometimes that's what we need to do, guys. We need to be careful who we hang out with sometimes. If a person is dragging you down, amen, if they're unbelieving, it's not a good idea to hang out too much with people that are unbelieving believers, even. Pessimistic, nothing ever, you know, they don't believe God for anything. You know, what we want to do is we want to be an encourager to each other, amen? We need to live it, amen, and encourage others. To step up, step out of unbelief. Believe God. God is bigger than we are, much bigger. Amen. He can do it. Don't put your faith in man. Some people, they're putting their faith in the government. You know what? Our government is poised. Unfortunately, sometimes it's like punishing people for getting married. You lose any benefits you had if you got married. So people decide not to get married. Well, this is where we have to say, you know what? You're not my provider. God is. And if God is telling me to get married, amen, I'm going to get married. I'm going to obey Him and trust that the Lord will take care of me in this situation. That's faith. Confidence that God will do what He said He would do, not based upon the way things appear in my situation, but based upon God's faithfulness to His own word, that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Trusting in the Lord. So it says that she went from him and shut the door, verse 5, behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. I mean, no, it's important here. It was where she actually became a doer of the word. She had to start the pouring process. She only had one, but she says, okay. Here goes. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. So she was miraculously supplied with oil, and the only limit being the number of vessels that she could borrow to receive it. Do you see? I think sometimes, including myself, I limit God by my unbelief. Or my small thinking sometimes. God wants to do more in my life, and I limit God by my own unbelief. I can only be this, and I can only do this. I can't be anything more than that. It's like Moses when he was being called. Oh, God, send somebody else. I'm not eloquent of speech. He had a stutter, apparently. But God says, you're exactly who I need. Because I can't work with self-confident people. I need people that are going to trust in me. You get that? It's not about self-confidence. It's about confidence in God and not confidence in self. It's the opposite in the world, isn't it? Oh, you got to be self-confident. And you can accomplish things in the world through self-confidence, but they have zero value in eternity. God will honor faith, those who trust in Him, to do beyond what they could do naturally by the power, the grace of God supplied to them because they're obedient to listen and obey the voice of God. Oh, how many times God has come through. And He'll come through for you if you will trust Him. Obey Him in what He's telling you to do. Take the step out of the boat onto the water. That's where Jesus is at. Amen. 2 Kings 4:7, and then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Isn't that good? That's God. That's our God. I mean, He's not stingy. She had leftovers, praise God. She had enough, amen, to pay her debt and to live on. Even in a situation where there's probably a lot of people that were starving to death. But God made a way for her, even in the midst of all that, because she trusted in the Lord. And let me just say one more thing, guys. We need to be good stewards of another man's property as well, or another man's calling. There's a time, amen. Elisha had learned that principle as he followed Elijah. Amen. His time would come, but he had to wait on that time when God would exalt him. Amen. And he did receive the double portion just like he was promised. Amen. If he would see Elijah when he went up into heaven. Amen. That the mantle fell to him and he received a double portion. Why? Because we see in the record that Elisha did twice the amount of miracles that Elijah did. Because Elisha understood the principle and the importance of serving another man's vision. Amen. Not having to be the top or the boss, you know, or the one in the spotlight, but saying, Lord, I'll be a doorkeeper at your house. Amen. I'll be willing to shine some shoes, whatever you want me to do. I've cleaned some toilets. Anybody here clean toilets? Amen. If you're going to clean toilets, make them the cleanest toilets in the house. Amen. Do it for the glory of God. And God will reward you. It's not how much, it's what you do with what you do have. Some people, you know, I think sometimes we think, well, if I can just have the international ministry and the big name and all that stuff, then I'm going to be somebody special in heaven. Not necessarily. To whom much is given, the same much is required. Amen. So if you've been given much, you're required, more is required of you. All right. So just find out what you do have. Maybe it's just a little jar of oil. Something simple. Amen. And say, Lord, I'm going to give it back to you. All I got is a couple loaves and a few fish, but I'm going to give it back to you. Because whatever He has, He can bless and multiply, because He is a multiplier and He wants to multiply you and me so that we bear more fruit and glorify the Father. So we're all debtors. And Jesus paid that debt, didn't He, for us on the cross. So as long as we continue to pour out what God supplies, we will never run out. Guys, can I suggest to you that in your life, in your situation, in your work environment, wherever you find yourself on a daily basis, God is opening opportunity for you, that God is providing open vessels. Not everybody's going to be the evangelist that feels really comfortable about maybe talking to everybody on the street. But where do you work? What about your family? What about people that you do know in your circle of influence? Amen. There's some opportunity there. If we would just ask God to show you, God will show you, because He wants you to bear fruit. And He's given you some seed, not just so you'll sit on it, but that you'll take that seed and you'll invest it. Amen. In hopes that there'll be a harvest. And I think about Danny, all that he's sown. You know, he's such a giving man. Amen, Sam? And what an example for us, you know? But would you give to God, you don't lose. And I want you to know something, that when you sow into the lives of God's people and bless somebody else, amen, with whatever it is you have, maybe a word of encouragement, a prayer for somebody, amen, you're sowing into somebody's life. And you're blessing God by doing that. And the Lord sees that. And the Lord is pleased Amen. That you have not just taken what he gave you and done nothing with it, but that you're being a good steward. You know, the Lord said this, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to share the kingdom with us. And so he gives you seed and he says, here, I'm going to make an investment in you. You go out and you be a faithful steward over what I give you. Amen. Whatever it is that you have, I want you to be faithful with it. Amen. And as a result, you'll have an abundant welcome into heaven someday. You'll hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord prepared for you. Find an empty vessel. You don't have to look that hard because the empty jars are all around us. Whatever you give away in obedience to God, amen, you won't lose. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling, this is the end, to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Do you see it? God knew what each vessel, what each person was capable of. And so he invests in you and I today, likewise, understanding that what he's given us, we're capable of being good stewards over. He never asks us to do anything that we're not capable of doing by his grace, by his ability. And so he went away on a long journey. How many know the Lord has gone away? Amen. He's returned to the Father's house. And the day will come when the Father says, son, go get my children. And he's going to come for his bride, his church. He's coming for a ready people. He's coming for those who are looking for him. And remember, those who are looking for him are those who are living for him. In Matthew 25:19, I'm just jumping ahead here. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Of course, this money, speaking of a natural illustration, but it's teaching us a spiritual principle, isn't it? And then he said in verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given. That means to those who have been faithful, even in little, been faithful to the Lord, amen, they will receive abundance, they'll receive more. God will multiply the one who's been faithful. Ooh, but what did he say? But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You can lose your rewards. You can lose if you don't use what God gives you to invest. Now, this is the thing. You and I, in our own strength, can't do it. You and I, in our own ability, can't live a life that pleases God. You and I, in our own strength or wisdom or wit, cannot serve God acceptably. We need to be connected to Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to partner with the Lord. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, God, and on Wednesday I talked about this. I'm going to just close with this. That you and I as a body each has a specific function. Everybody has a different gift set, and we have to be faithful stewards over what we receive. Amen? And so the first thing that God wants for his body is for his body to be healthy, to be holy, to be pure, undefiled, amen, from the world. Having the robes, our robes, amen, washed in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. So we need to, first of all, be pure. We need to be clean. But just being clean is not enough. We need to be animated. We need to be energized. Amen? A clean hand can be a dead hand. You can wash a cadaver, amen? It's going to be clean on the outside, at least. But it ain't moving, it ain't working, it ain't useful. Unless you receive some power, amen, to that hand. So two things we need. We need purity, but we need the power of God. Hallelujah. And we need them both. It's not okay to have one without the other. You know, sometimes you got people that they're not living holy, but they want God's power. And on the other side, you got people that are living holy, but they don't want God's power. So we want to be clean, healthy, amen, functioning, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that we'll be a clean vessel that God can work through. How many have realized that when you're pure of heart, you'll see God? When you're pure of heart, you'll be able to present Christ to others. Amen? Otherwise, they're going to say, ooh, what's all that other stuff I get? I hear you saying it, and you may even have some good things to say, and people say, hey, that's pretty good stuff, but your life is like, ooh. You know what I'm saying? We need to have a clean life because we are representing the Lord who is holy. And He's the one who makes us holy. Amen? Jesus puts us in charge of ourselves and He says, you be a good steward over your body. You keep your body pure. You keep your body from sexual immorality. Amen? So you can be a vessel for me. Now, you know, the Lord tells us those things not to condemn us, but to convict us so that we'll turn to Him for the grace and the ability to control ourselves, because self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's by the ability of God that we can have self-control. Amen. Everybody gets tempted with different things. Amen. But by the power of God, the ability of God, you can live the life He's called you to. He doesn't tell you to do something without supplying the grace for you to do it. So let's pray. Amen. This morning. And maybe the Lord has been speaking to you today about something. I don't know. A lot of times I'm saying things that the Lord gives me, and I don't know who it's for. But some people say, man, you are speaking to me. I don't like that church. They tell me all these things about myself. But I don't know. I'm just a clay jar. Amen. And I need Jesus just like everybody else. I need His grace daily. Amen. To live clean. Amen. And I need His power so that I can serve Him effectively, so I can have influence in this world. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. I'd like to ask you this morning, if you are not in a hurry, I pray that you're not. Right where you're at, you don't need to come up here, but right where you're at, I want you to confess and renounce all known sin. If God has showed something to you today, God has revealed something to you today that you need to deal with, why don't you take it to Him right now? Maybe it's simply that you haven't been a good steward over His investment. Maybe He's just been sitting on it. Just confess that to God. Renounce it today. And ask the Lord to help you, to give you the grace to move out of even a place of apathy or complacency in your walk. You simply need more of Him. You need the power of God to energize you, to quicken you, to give you the strength you need to be an effective witness for Him. You can't do it in your own strength. The Christian life is impossible apart from the grace of God, apart from the power of God. So ask the Lord, Lord, please forgive me for this. Forgive me for all my sins. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be healthy. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. But Lord, I also need your strength. I need your power. And then if you've had an honest heart with God today and you're willing to cooperate with Him, even in forgiveness, maybe there's somebody you need to forgive today. Forgive that person. Do it as an act of faith and obedience to God. You may not feel like it, but in obedience to God, say, Lord, I don't feel like this, but I'm going to do it to honor you. Amen. Just forgive that person. Speak to that person. Say, I forgive you. I release you. I let you go. You owe me nothing. The debt has been canceled. Just let them go right now. And say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I am forgiven. I receive my forgiveness. I receive my cleansing today. In Jesus' name. Just go ahead and settle things right now between you. Get right with your Maker today. Hallelujah. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But today we have an opportunity to get in right standing and to receive the impartation of God's grace, of His power, to enable us to live the life He's called us to. It's an abundant life. It's a superior life, a superior quality and quantity of life he came to give us. The devil came to rob, to kill, to destroy, but God, the Lord Jesus, came what? That we might have life. And what life? More abundantly, an overflowing life. That's what God wants for you.